I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Gary Lineker. We all know Gary as a player, broadcaster, crisp fanatic, and unapologetic Twitter user. But alongside this, Gary is a prolific collector who loves nothing more than reading and collating his favourite football stories. Last series, we read his first anthology, Gary Lineker's Favourite Football Stories, and today, we've got book number two, the imaginatively named More of Gary Lineker's Favourite Football Stories, containing 15 all-new short football stories. But what will the book club think of it? Find out in today's Football Book Club.
It had a big thing saying £2, and then it was crossed out, and it said 75p.
Why did his granddad come back and kick a ball at him in his sleep?
They all have wacky nicknames, including Bigfoot, Butter Toes, Mountain Boy, and Loopy Lee.
I was sat in a cafe reading it, and the waiter came over and was like, "Are you okay?"
I am sat incredibly awkwardly. Here we go. I need to be comfortable to read. Hello and welcome to Football Book Club.
I need to be comfortable to read, Mother. You must get me the ergonomic chair, Mother.
I've told you plenty of times at my standing desk before.
Oh, it's true. I forgot. Wait, are you sitting? Or are you standing?
I'm sitting.
Okay, that's why. You're sitting. Like, oh, God, sorry, guys. I've forgotten what sitting's like. I've been standing so much recently.
Just so listeners know, we record for roughly 18 hours, and I cannot stand for that period of time.
Where are you sitting now? Are you standing?
I'm sitting.
You're sitting, right. You know when if I ever stay over at your house, I'll stay in that room, and sometimes I just have a little go on the up and down of the desk just to...
You do? That's what that noise is at night. Yeah. I'm trying to sleep next door.
No, that's not what the noise is.
That's not me.
What a high octane start to the show. Hello and welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where instead of literary classics, each episode we read another footballer's autobiography. Less Ray Bradbury, more Christophe Dugarry. That doesn't quite sound right.
Dugarry.
Less Ray Bradbury. More Christophe Dugarry. Yeah, that kind of works.
It was my fault.
Sorry, Dan Atkinson. I've ruined that for you, Dan Atkinson. Should I do it one more time? Is that fair for Dan?
Go on, give it another go.
Less Ray Bradbury, more Christophe Dugarry. Yeah.
I think that was worse.
It's hard one to pronounce. It kind of works. Written down, it looks better. Ray Bradbury, more Christophe Dugarry.
Ray Bradbury, more Christophe Dugarry. No, it doesn't work. It
doesn't quite, no.
No, I think it works written down, and I think Dan Atkinson is a visual
medium.
Maybe he's
Scottish.
Less Bradbury, Bradbury, more Christophe Dugarry. Actually, that does work, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That could be it. Well, Dan, thank you for sending that, yeah. I guess. From maybe workshop it.
Try harder next time, Dan.
Yeah, send it back in next week and we'll have another go. Have another go at reading it.
Better luck next time.
Better luck next time. I'm James Berg, and over the weeks we'll be reading classics such as Tim Cahill's Legacy and Julian Dix's Hammer Time. But today, we're reading our... That came out recently, actually. I tried to get him on the show. No response. But today, our second collection of Gary Lineker's football stories. It's called More of Gary Lineker's Favourite Football Stories. And reading it with me, a Jack Bernhardt.
Yep.
James Belgian.
Hello.
And Natasha Frisco.
Hello.
There. Hello. Hello. Hello.
I'm trying to bring the mood back.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this
it's a frosty one this week, isn't it?
Could be a slog. We're all doing good? all well?
Yeah.
I'm really good, and I owe a debt of gratitude to James Baljan this week, because I've had this book on my desk for, I would say, about 3 weeks, and I keep going, you got to do it, Jack. You got to read this book. And last night, the day before this recording, I was like, okay, fine, I'll finally read it. And I can't find it anywhere. I have no idea where it is. And
£2 of football book club money wasted.
I legitimately feel quite bad because I know that you put in a lot of effort to torture us. So it's true. It's really nice of you.
Well, Jack, when you messaged that, I didn't want to, you know, give a spoiler away, but I'm going to come back to this, what happened to you, because I think I know what went on there.
Oh, interesting.
I think Granddad Jim has been into your bedroom.
Right. Now, okay, we're going to have to get some authorities involved. What's
Park
going on now?
Yeah. And I'll come back.
Because I was going to say that a potentially more likely thing than Granddad Jim, terrifying, is that my daughter has just been picking things up and putting them in different places, like a poltergeist, but you know,
but
real.
Only with books written only by Match the Day presenters.
Well, no, she also stole the a babysitter come to look after it. She had like a leg brace. And she, like, it went missing. And it was because Camila put it in, like, a random drawer in the middle of our house somewhere. And we spent, like, hours searching for it.
Doesn't that happen in an episode of The Sopranos?
Possibly.
Janice steals the fake leg of someone.
I get it. It wasn't a fake leg. She wasn't, like, hopping around the room after my daughter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so basically, James Baljan was wonderfully helpful and took photos of every single one of these things, which means that now... or like sort of 50 pages of this book, which means that both of our Google Photos is now just filled with some of the worst writing that has ever existed.
No spoilers.
Well, I was also going to say, and also the very limited photograph. So, yeah.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, I think it's fair to say we weren't huge fans of the first book. No. The first book. But how happy we were when we found out there was a second edition released just 1 year later in 1998.
Was that 1 year later?
Yeah, it was 1 year later. First one was 1997. This came out in 1998. He had a haircut in between, obviously.
He has aged horribly between those two photos.
Yeah, he's got like long floppy hair on the front of the first one. Yeah. And the second one, yeah. Either I would all say fell out the, reading it.
The first one is Gary in Japan, I would say. Give me Gary in Japan vibes, personally.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
And the second one is like 4 weeks into Match of the Day. So I'm legitimately surprised there's only a year between them.
He does look much dorkier in the second one, but that's not we're not judging it on the cover. We're not judging it how much of a dork Gary Lineker looks like. Yeah, as you might remember from the last book, the book basically is a collection of short stories aimed at children, I assume, by various authors, and of course, all of them are about football. And then Gary Lineker's involvement, I guess he found the stories and decided to put them together, or tracked them down. I don't really know.
I guess canonically, that's what we're supposed to believe, right? Gary Lineker just like goes around to footballers, like people who write football books, and is like, "Have you got another one for me? Yeah. I desperately want to hear about Basher and Bigger playing against Blonkers and Townend," which is what every single one of these fucking things is. Yes. And they can't. And I guess in the logic of this book existing, these people can't churn these stories out fast enough for Gary.
Nope.
Gary is there with this voracious appetite, more. Desperate for more of these mediocre, terrible stories where the opposition team is always called, I guess they're either called like Town End or Park End or Park Hall or Town Hall. And they're always like, oh no, it's the boys from Town Hall or Park End. And you have to somehow believe that Gary Lineker is sort of sitting at home reading his books going like, oh no, Town Hall are playing. What's going to happen? Will the main team win the game? Yes, they will, Gary, because it always happens that way.
Wow.
That's the book.
But in reality, Gary has nothing to do with this, obviously.
No.
No.
I'm not even sure he knows these books exist. I don't think he knows any of these things were ever even released. But there's 15 stories in there, as we say. We've each read a quarter of them, and we're going to tell each other the stories that we found on our way through the book. So let's get into it. Let's read more of Gary Lineker's favourite football stories.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
Is yours signed?
It's got a fake signing. Yeah.
Mine's got a fake signature. I think mine had a fake signature as well.
Yeah.
Oh, god damn it. I thought I got a rare orc.
Oh, yeah, Tash. your money so troubles would all be over, wouldn't they?
It does look real, doesn't it? It does look like it could be.
It does look real.
Yeah, a little bit.
Sorry.
I'll tell you that I don't have this book, obviously, because it's, my daughter has thrown it into the depths of hell somewhere. But I can tell you that on the inside cover, I did look at it, and it had a big thing saying, £2, and then it was crossed out, and it said, 75p. So that's the level.
Actually, the inside cover is fascinating, because it really it shows the lack of care that the people who made this go with. It just goes, here's a second selection of sensational football stories chosen by the great Gary Lineker. That's pretty much it. And it goes, it features a hat trick, a magic football sticker that made dreams come true, and the goal scoring dog who beat the Chiefs, which is basically, I'm sure, happened in the first book.
We definitely had that,
definitely had that story. Sit back and enjoy the thrills and the spills and the joy and the heartbreak of the greatest game on earth. Anyway, over the show.
Wait, very quickly, you said at the top that there were 15, right?
Yeah.
And you said that we'd all read an equal amount.
Yes.
How many stories? So I read 4.
Yes, I said.
Tash, how many did you read?
4. Yeah.
James, how many did you read?
4, sir.
So that's interesting, isn't it? We read 4.
Here we go, Jack. As you love math so much, number of pages in the book, 197. Split that by 4. What is that, please, Jack?
I don't know.
It's
49.
Yeah, roughly 49 pages. I read from page 117 to page 157, which is,
that's not 49.
It's 40.
That's low 30s.
40. No, it's 40. I read 40 pages.
You read 40 pages.
I read 40 pages. Jack read
and three stories.
Tash read 55. Admittedly, you read. God, what a dull
start. I love
start.
It there.
You read.
Did I read? Tell me.
Jack actually read 62. Actually. Ooh,
Oh! It's all getting quite interesting now, isn't it? It's all getting a bit tasty. And what a dull start, he says.
James also read 40. No, he didn't. No, because that's 197. James also read quite a bit. Anyway, I read the least, but I also did the most.
Suddenly the maths comes in.
I did edit the thing. While you are enjoying your lives, I'm sat in a dark room. Putting this miserable show together. over the show, we're going to go into more depth about this book. And if you're lucky, at the end, we'll have a Ken song, which I'll also have to edit. But first, let's see what Amazon's saying. And guys, it's not saying much because there's no reviews.
I was going to say, refuse to believe that anyone has given this book any kind of...
I was expecting it to have one that was like, bought for nephew. Liked it.
Nope.
Came on time.
It came on time, 3 stars.
Nope. It does have 2 stars from 2 ratings, but only one review. Oh, it has 1 review technically, but it's the same review that for the previous book. I don't know if they've copied and pasted for the thing or it's a weird Amazon thing where it's come over, but you might remember it. There was a guy called Alan Kennedy on there who said he was making a Father Ted joke. It was like, oh, it's not as good as... Gary Lineker's ghost stories or something. I was like, yeah, it was funny last time, not the second time, mate.
I think he just did it twice because he wanted to get that joke having a second.
Well, I think he might have read the book again. I'm coming back to Grandad Jim because
this Grandad
ghost
Jim.
Stories are about.
I am terrified by Grandad
I'm
Jim.
Hooked.
This is like
I'm hooked.
This is like Ghost Watch. I'm really afraid that Grandad Jim's going to come out of the.
So that's what Amazon thought of it. Pretty much nothing. But what did you guys think of it?
Pretty much nothing.
I liked it.
Pretty much nothing.
Wait.
James, sorry, did you say
James
you liked
Belgian?
It?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. It's about my level. Like, you know, big font, easy to read stories.
Very big
very
font.
Very short. Perfect. Perfect.
I actually, spoiler, quite enjoyed one of my stories as well.
Felt a little bit like reading the scripts to a series of Inside Number 9 if it was for prepubescent boys.
That is the biggest compliment it could ever get.
That's a huge compliment. Yeah. That I mean, I think that's almost offensive too. I feel like Steve Pemberton and Dree Shearsmith should come and sue.
Yeah,
I don't know though, because mine was very weird is the word that I'd use. Okay. The stories that I read were very strange, and they were that's not your run of the mill football stories.
Because I had three that were the most run of the mill in the world. Interesting. That could not have been more run of the mill, and one that I think is one of the strangest things I've ever read.
I'm looking forward to it. But yeah. I think we can all agree, in terms of Gary's effort itself, phoned in, hugely phoned in. And just to prove this, Gary has a little message at the beginning of the book, a foreword. And Jack, you haven't got the copy of the book, actually. James or Tash, whoever's got it in front of you. I've got the original Gary Lineker's favourite football stories here. And Tash, you've got the current one. Tash, can you read line by line and stop each sentence, and I'll read in the equivalent sentence in the original one.
This one.
Yep, and you'll see just how phoned in Gary's message is.
Okay. Welcome back, football fans.
Welcome to my collection of stunning soccer stories.
I'm delighted you are able to join me for my second collection of soccer stories, which I hope you'll agree is every bit as enthralling as the first.
I hope you'll agree that it's an unputdownable selection of the greatest football tales ever told, all that any football fanatic could possibly need for hours and hours of action-packed fun reading.
Oh, well, if you're a football fanatic, here's everything you could possibly need for hours and hours of fatty fun.
Oh my God.
Here are stories of knife-edge matches, lost and won, of moments of glory and despair, of friendships and rivalries on and off the pitch. In fact, all the drama and excitement of the world's best-loved sport.
A bumper bundle of action-packed stories bursting with excitement and drama, capturing the penalties and pride, friendships and rivalries, glory and pain of the world's most amazing sport.
Fucking hell, Gary.
Gary.
I hope you'll enjoy the book, but don't forget, never stop aiming for the top and never stop believing that dreams can come true. Sometimes they do. I forgot about that.
The end's got a twist then. Hope you enjoy the book and enjoy playing your own football too. As someone said, football isn't a matter of life and death. It's far more important. Ho, ho, ho.
Terrific. Terrific.
And then this one has a picture of Grandpa Jim just clawing
out of it.
Yeah.
There is a review,
remember,
by
kids,
the way.
Don't look in Grandpa Jim's eyes.
Yeah, huh? In the sleeve of the book.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can you read that for us,
from James? From Cosmic magazine. And the review is simply...
Cosmo.
Cosmic.
Yeah, Cosmopolitan definitely reviewed it.
What is Cosmic?
Cosmic. I've never heard of Cosmic magazine. Right. Sounds like a kind of astrologer's magazine.
Well, anyway, their review was a footy-filled treat.
Beautiful.
Simply.
Footy-filled treat.
A footy-filled treat.
Footy-filled treat.
If this doesn't have any football
in it. If you like
it,
your treats footy-filled, this is the treat for you.
Imagine if this book had no football in it whatsoever. Yeah. Just other short stories.
Sounds like an OnlyFans page, doesn't it?
Ooh,
it's a footy-filled treat. Hello, I'm Cosmic. I'm Cosmic Gary, and welcome to my footy-filled treat.
With Grandad Jim.
I want to hear more about Grandad Jim, and luckily I don't have to wait long, I guess, because Tash, you read the first four stories of the book.
I did, and do you know what? He really started on a weird note. So I had four stories.
Yep.
I had one about a dog called Lineker who scored goals, because all dogs in Gary Lineker's world score goals.
Of course.
One about girls football. Ugh, gross.
Yeah. Well, this is sounding very much like last time as well, because James got the dog and I got the girls football one.
I briefly wasn't paying attention. I was like, wow, that's a brave opinion by Tash going women's football.
I'm joking. But then I had these two stories that were some of the darkest, weirdest things I've read in a very long time. So I'm just going to hone in on these, because I wrote a list of, if I was writing this on social media, the trigger warnings these two stories would require.
Ooh.
Paranormal activity, haunting, generational trauma, paralyzing disabilities, bribery, theft, secrets, violence.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I love the idea of trigger warning.
And as if it wasn't bad enough, I was sat. You never know. And I was sat in a cafe reading it, and the waiter came over and was like, oh, interesting book you've got there. And then he came back with my coffee a few minutes later. He was like, are you okay? Because I think I'd just gone like a bit pale reading.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
And then, you look back and he was gone.
Yeah. He's gone. Yeah. But no, so the first weird one that I'll discuss, I'm just going to talk about the two weird ones because we've all heard of course. About dogs scoring goals and girls playing football. We've done enough of that. But the first one is called Hat Trick Hero. And it's this young lad called Josh, and he's about to play the biggest game of his life against the school next door, you know, park,
they call Town End.
Park or Town End or whatever they're called. And the night before, his dead granddad that he's never met comes and kicks a ball at him in his sleep. And then when he wakes up, the ball is gone. Right?
Oh.
Very weird. Then okay. when he wakes up, he goes to school and his teacher calls him Jim. And Josh is like, Jim, my granddad, what you want about? Then he plays the game and he thinks he's passing the ball to this like young lad. There is no young lad. Ooh. His granddad, Jim, come back because he lost a game on that pitch and he wasn't going to let his grandson do the same thing.
Oh, my word.
So hang on. Let's just go through the logic of that. He passes to a ghost?
Yes. But okay. Everybody else thinks he just scored. Nobody else can see this ghost.
Right, hang on. But, okay.
So that, like it just like
that doesn't make sense to me.
Straight through.
It's quite a plot hole, isn't it? Quite a plot hole.
Like was it a cross that was going on target anyway?
Yeah. Like one of those.
He doesn't say
kicks.
That. He says three times the other guy scores and he feels bad because he's supposed to be the star scorer.
What the
Yeah, but it's really weird. Really weird.
So he must have like a sort of out of body experience where he's scoring these goals but can't remember it.
Channeling granddad Jim.
I feel like we're not mentioning the most important bit, which why did his granddad come back and kick a ball at him in his sleep?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. And then he wakes up and the ball's gone. So that's who I think had your book, Jack.
Is it a ghost ball? Is it a real ball or a ghost ball?
It's his ball that he has, that's and he wakes up because it hits him in the night.
Oh, I see. Okay. The way Jack asked you that, Tash, was like Paxman in his prime or something. Like, was it a real ball or a ghost ball? Real ball, ghost ball.
Did he threaten to kick the ball at him? Did he threaten to kick the ball at him? No, I reckon you might be right about. Let's go with Grandpa Jim stole my ball because he really didn't want me to do this podcast because he died on a podcast 50 years ago.
And he's going to come back.
I'm going to make a series of really witty jokes where I'll be like, I was just letting that old guy say those things.
Zing, zing, zing.
Yeah. Your grandpa would be Jim Bernhardt, and that would fit in very well with all men on the show have to be called JB. So
that's true.
It is very possible. Also, Tash, I feel like I had this exact story in my book. Remember I had that one about the ghost flasher? Like, yes. I mentioned it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, with the trench coat.
Yeah, and I swear that was his grandpa or something as well, wasn't it? He was watching him training.
Maybe it's the same one.
Maybe it is.
Why did the teacher call him Jim? Just because...
Because that's his granddad's name and his teacher... No. Oh, go on.
But is he turning into his grandpa? That's my question. Has his grandpa, like... possessed his body and now
he's like a wrinkly old boy. This is what I was a bit concerned about because the story ends on a real high note, but I need to know where it goes after that because I can't, you can't just end it. Ends on we won the match and it was great, but like,
you can't believe that grandpa has experienced
in the sequel,
life again.
Like Josh is going to get his legs broken if he misses a goal by a paranormal activity or something, you know?
Wow. Yeah. Or it'll be like, he'll
didn't
be like,
enjoy that one.
I desperately don't want to play football grandpa. And his grandpa's like, you're playing football. I'm going to drag you out there and play football. You'll play football for the rest of your fucking life, son. Because I'm dead now. And I didn't get to play football.
And I've got shitloads of regrets. I regret everything in my life.
Yeah. You are going to go and kiss a 95-year-old woman in a care home. Because I should have taken that. This poor boy.
The most miserable old man in the world. I fucked up my whole life. And I'm ruining your life too. Wow. So that was.
I thought I was assisting this old man having on a date with with an old woman, but it turns out. horrible.
Yeah, there was another one as well that was even weirder, and I'm gonna brush lightly over this one because it was so fucking grim. I don't even know I'm gonna talk about this.
I'm scared.
So this guy's called Jack, because again, all men are called Jack or Josh or James or Jim or something. So agreed. We've got a Jack in this one. He's a school star goalkeeper, but on the side, he's also the local shoplifter. Oh. Why has he been shoplifting? Because, this is exactly what you want out of this book, isn't it? Because his mum was paralysed after a hit and run accident 2 years earlier, just after his dad left the two of them, and they had no money, so he had to become a professional shoplifter to feed the family.
A professional shoplifter?
What the fuck, Gary? What Jesus, the actual fuck, Gary?
Oh my
God. Yeah, so he's treated nothing too, so they'd have cash left from his mum's. Literally. I was reading it. I was like, Gary, are you mad? But then there's a plot twist. There's a plot twist coming because Jack's being bullied by this kid called Barney. He sounds like a bully, doesn't he? Barney.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed.
Who is Barney. A shelf stacker at the supermarket where he nicks all the food for the family from.
Interesting.
And Barney catches him nicking food and takes a Polaroid of him and says, if you don't let my team score 3 goals on Saturday, I'm having you. I'm showing the Polaroid to everyone. Yeah. So you've got all this bribery, real high stakes. Poor Jack doesn't sleep for weeks. Like, he's very stressed. Anyway, yes, it's obviously the one game that his mum is going to make it to because someone can take her wheelchair in the car. So he's like, do I want to show my mum how amazing I am at being a goalkeeper, but then she'll find out I'm a shoplifter? Or do I want her to think that I'm really shit and she's been sacrificing all this stuff, but she'll never know I'm a shoplifter? So what does he do? He doesn't fix the match. He lets the Go he on. Wins the game. They win the game. And then he races on his bike to the supermarket and confesses to the manager. And the manager says, because you've been such a good lad, an honest lad, I'm sacking Barney for being a bully and you can have his job. That's how it ends. I was like, Gary, this is a roller coaster.
The moral of the story is steal a lot. Steal often
and never be a fucking snitch.
Yeah. Exactly.
That is so bonkers. That sounds like you remember Jim McGovern's The Street? Which is just miserable all the time. It really reminds me of that.
Yeah.
I
was
like,
oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's like reading lad, Thomas Hardy
I can't
or
wait
something.
To come
like,
to your football
Jesus.
Game. Oh, God, blimey, Mum. I'm so glad you're coming to a football game, but I hope you don't find out I'm shoplifter.
Just so everyone knows, that was Jack speaking, not me.
Confused, yeah, thanks so much for taking photos of this book for me, James. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to pay you back with the worst fucking accent in the world. That's grim.
It does.
So yeah,
grim.
it was a real, and football seems like very secondary to both of these stories. I don't know.
Yeah. That's more for like a fan of like life-changing injuries. If you love life-changing injuries.
yeah.
Cosmic. It's a life-changing injury filled treat.
But yeah, I just found it like the most traumatizing thing I've read since Ashley Cole. It really it was a lot.
You read Ashley Cole quite recently.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
So,
That says it all. That says it all.
So yeah, I hope there's not a third one because I don't know what depths we'll be plumbing to.
Well, I've got my own little spoiler at the end.
Oh God.
James Bug's favourite football soccer stories.
Andy Crabb's favourite football stories. Oh,
oh God.
Throw that to Andy Crabb. Whoa.
Where's Andy?
Where's Andy been? God. R.I.P. Jack, you read the next exact quarter of the book.
I am not letting that go, can I just say? You and your maths. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I've read these. I read it quite quickly. These ones, and I'll tell you that again. Like Tash, there were three of these that are the most archetypal ones that you can possibly imagine. Which is basically like all of these books are all these stories for me are fundamentally the same. Which is kid who is slightly weird,
yep.
or like an outsider,
yep.
plays football, and something happens that means that he is made better at football,
mm-hmm.
and then in the big match he plays against the team and they win, and they're always playing against their court. It's the park end town hall bunch, and then it always looks like the thing that they were that made them different was going to be a setback, and actually, oh, it turns out it made them really good.
Mm-mm-mm.
Just deeply sort of like, I mean, in a way, it's quite like calming to read the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. So three of them were like that, and one of them was about, it was called The Boffin Bounces Back, which I had high hopes for.
It's a good
name.
Because
that is just, from the get-go, is just a great name.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy at the start of it was called Brian Butterworth, which is so close. What,
the guy from the, oh, is it Brian Butterfield? Butter. Is it Butterfield?
It's Butterfield. Yeah, yeah, it's yeah. So close to being, but he...
Exactly.
I was excited for that.
I saw Peter Serafinovic last week.
Really?
I saw him doing a preview
in Missoula.
In Missoula, Chelmsford. Him, Rio Ferdinand, and Danny Gavadan. No, I saw him on stage doing he's doing an Elvis thing. I saw a preview.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's like a deep fake Elvis. It was at the Soho Theatre, a preview. It was... Anyway, carry on.
In the first one, it's about a boffin, and he's called The Boffin, and he calls himself The Boffin because it's a bit where he's like, okay, guys, what's my nickname going to be? Is it going to be Brain or Boffin? Oh, and they're like, oh, I don't know. I think you're called like Cheesy Steve. And they're like, well, actually, I think my name will be Boffin, because listen here, tough guy. If here's the deal, no rough stuff, and I'll help you with that mass Mr. Atkinson set us before break with. And he gazed at all of us with a smile. I'm afraid to say, which was so pathetically easy that I wondered if I was in year six or reception. So I thought, and then he refuses to play football because he's like, football is a silly sport. Yep. And I thought that the typical thing that was going to go down was that you know, he comes on at the last minute and he can't play football, then he scores a goal and it's great. Turns out he's actually great at football. He just doesn't like playing football because people shout at him. And at one point, basically, he comes across as an android. Where he says... They sort of say like, are you, you know, please, the teacher's like, please, can you play? And he's like, I don't mean to be rude, but what is the point of football? There is more fun to be had in mathematics than football. It seemed to me a game for simpletons.
Is this propaganda? To try and get kids to do maths as opposed to play football.
I don't think so, because he comes across as a real dick.
Yeah. Yeah. He isn't aspirational.
He's not aspirational. Like, wow, yeah. I want to be that kid who goes really people and says, call me Boffin! He also, he makes a badge that says, it's cool to be a Boffin. It says, like, the next day he comes in with a homemade badge that says, it's cool to be a Boffin.
Wait, what is the plot of this story?
I don't... The plot of this story is legitimately, and I don't want to talk about it too much because it's nonsense, it doesn't make any sense, but it's basically they're like, oh, he's going to be our secret weapon. We'll play him, but we'll make sure he's a substitute, and then he'll come on and do really well. Like, that's our plan. Like, we won't tell the teacher our plan. He won't... It was something like... he has to be a substitute, but he goes missing, and the teacher's like, where is he? Oh no, we're 4-1 down. And the other team are like, ah, because they're town hall and they've like scared him away. They think they've scared him away. Town park hall bullshit, whatever it is. They're like, yes, we did it, lads. And then the brainy kid's big plan, their genius plan, is he jumps out from behind a hedge and says, I can play now. And the other team are so shocked, they concede 7 goals, and the final score is 8-4. a boy behind a hedge? It's so weird. Because they're like, they portray it as like, this is one of the cleverest, most genius plans that only a boffin could come up with. Hedge. Boy appears from behind hedge. So there was another one which was a similar plot, but he's...
Wait,
not
before
a...
you before you move on to the next story, Jack, two things. Firstly, uh-huh. Your impression sounds a lot like, what's that guy called off the Hanna-Barbera? Is it the green gazoo?
Oh,
Marvin gazoo?
No, not the...
Oh, your little impression sounds like that little green, you know, that little green guy with a massive helmet.
Okay,
Marvin.
Thanks.
Yeah, do you mean Marvin the Martian?
Marvin the Martian.
No, so there's also the guy who is the only Fred Flintstone can see.
Oh yeah,
the green gazoo or something. He's
the green gazoo. Anyway, great gazoo. Only Fred Flintstone can see him.
Yeah.
So that's what your impression sounds like.
And of course,
and secondly, I shouldn't be telling you this probably because you're never going to let it drop now. But very occasionally, people pronounce my surname as Boffin.
Because
it's a weird one, isn't it? It's a weird surname.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And most people sort of say bow and a bone, which I'd accept, but very occasionally people will say
Boffin. Is it like coffin?
Mr. Boffin? Yeah. No. It's like,
I can't wait to introduce you on the bonus chat.
Oh,
yes! Isn't it? Subscribe to him. He called
the best
boffin.
One was when I was in Holland when I was like 18, and the guy who's checking in in our hotel said, "I've got a room for Mr. Boogan." So that
sound like a very Dutch name, though.
Yeah, Mr. Those people Boogan? Still call me Boog.
It's cool to be a Boogan.
the second story, basically the second and fourth stories are basically the same plot as that, except instead of a boffin. He's a bird watcher, and he gets
the
angry.
Twitcher.
Is that why twitcher. Is that why he's in the bushes that time?
Yeah, that's what he tells people.
It's the one by Redvers Brandling.
Yes.
Which sounds like a pseudonym or an anagram or something. Yeah, when I read that, all I could get was a rebranded slinger. That's what I got on there. And reversing barn. So,
well, in this one, he gets really angry at a footballer who he thinks is hurting birds and like throwing rocks at birds. So, David Seaman, watch out.
Gary Lineker loves animal cruelty.
He There's does.
Dogs getting kicked in the last one,
and
grandchildren getting kicked.
So story four is basically, again, the exact same plot, except instead of a boffin or a bird watcher, it's a guy who's not very good at football, but he gets a football sticker of a good footballer, and that makes him really good at football. Except it doesn't.
Oh.
Because it seems to turn him into, he's a defender, and it turns into a goalkeeper, because he picks up the ball and he's like, "It wasn't me, it was the sticker." And you're like, "It was obviously you. What are you talking about?" And he's also like, "How can people understand that the sticker was the one causing all this problem? And like, who made me do this great shot?" You're like, it was just you. Are you crazy? But story three is one of the weirdest stories I think I've ever read.
Wow.
Because it is, on the surface, it is a story about William Shakespeare playing football. In
what?
In Tudor, England. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm on board with this. This will be great. It starts off with like William Shakespeare playing football, and it's got a lot of GCSE English attempts at writing like Shakespeare. Dickens, Shakespeare's older cousin, had a whining, mirthless, grating laugh. And another line that he had.
Is it written in iambic pentameter?
I feel like it might be trying to be. Oh, and then occasionally I'll just be like, nah. "I beat a hare out of the far hedge at the cost of a good scratching. And were my efforts in vain? Where's that hare I clambered through briars and thorns to scare your way?" So it takes about, compared to all the other books, which is basically like the first word is football. All the other books are like, football, a ball's crashing towards your face, scores a goal. This one takes about 5 pages to get to football, and I was writing, where is the football? I desperately need to know where the football is. Basically, it's a story about Dickon, Shakespeare's cousin.
It's called Dickon, not Dickens.
Not Dickens, not Dickon, but like, imagine Paul Dickoff, but he's got an N on the end of his name instead of a V.
Dickovner. Oh, that means other B. Sorry, Dickovner. Sorry, okay.
Yeah, David Duchovny, yeah. they get into a fight, and Shakespeare has basically, they're having a fight, and Shakespeare's getting really upset, and he says, Will had tears in his eyes. They were fools, nothing but fools. Please stop fighting. Shakespeare tells his friends that they'll duel with a pig's bladder. That's right.
Oh,
they're going
God.
To, these two guys are going to duel against each other with it, and it'll be, so I was thinking, while I was reading this, I was like, oh, okay, I can see what's going to happen here. It'll be a rough and tumble football match, which will be like the posh grammar school versus the apprentices. Mm. And I know how this will go. Shakespeare, at one point, he's like, which team do I play for? Am I an apprentice or am I a grammar school boy? I can't choose. And like, it'll be a crisis of consciousness for Shakespeare. And then he'll choose the apprentice team and then they'll win. Or he'll choose the grammar school team and then they'll win. Lovely. I'm on board. That is not what happens. The game kicks off, and it becomes one of the most violent and brutal stories I have ever heard, like, very, very quickly. It just becomes weirdly... I can't quite think how to describe this. Have you seen Akira?
The Japanese is it manga of some
sort? Yeah, the Japanese sort of manga, the anime.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it.
It has the vibe of a sort of body horror, because very quickly it gets like it just incredibly visceral very quickly, and it stops being about like different teams and stuff and becomes like a heaving mass of just like sweaty, like disgusting boys moving as like a disgusting
David Cronenberg kind
of like
feature.
A multi-tentacled body. Like there's a bit where he says an example of the horrible. Okay, it starts with this section. They lock together in a single struggling, grunting mass of flailing fists and bellowing voices.
Ooh.
A heavily built red-haired boy was digging like a huge mole at the mass of struggling bodies. He lifted the ball high with a shout, cut short by the fist of an opponent crunching into his jaw. And so Shakespeare is like, well, I've unlocked hell. I should get away from this. He gets away from this, but then the ball rolls towards him, and it says, for an endless fraction of a second, doesn't make sense as a line, Will gazed at the ball in horror before being engulfed in the howling mob. As the wall of bodies swallowed him, a fist hit Will in the throat and made him gag. His legs were knocked from under him, and he was rolling helplessly backwards. The mass of bodies swayed and pushed back the way it had come. Will frantically burrowed his way on all fours to the outside of the pack. He didn't care who he was gouging and crawling and scratching on his way out, nor did he care what he was clawing and gouging and scratching them.
It sounds very sexy.
I didn't want to say it sounds sexy, but it sounds pretty sexy.
It is sexy, yeah.
Tears of pure fear were running down his cheeks. He knew his life was in danger in that awful, heaving, suffocating mass of bodies.
Shall I play the sexy music that we have for Louis Saha's sexy speech?
Do you have a kind of sexy terror music?
Not that I'm going to look for. I could maybe combine the dramatic reading and the sexy music at the same time.
Just play them at the same time so it's like a cacophony of horror noise. But the climax, I would say, and I use that word very pointedly, says that he knew this enormous beast, the many-headed, many-limbed, howling monster that the schoolboys and the apprentice had become, could crush and tear and kill without a single thought. It's very like visceral.
Why was he playing football in the first place, Shakespeare?
Because he wanted to stop this duel between these two boys. And he was like, I thought it was going to be like, we'll play a game of football. And I know that, you know, football in the olden days was brutal. And I thought that would be the sort of like, there'll be, oh, jolly hell, boy, that's a bit of a crunching tackle there. My goodness. But then the ball comes to Shakespeare and Shakespeare curls the ball into the top corner. Lovely stuff. Instead, it's like, no, a heaving mass of disgusting, sweaty boys, like roiling together to become a sort of rat king of Tudor children. Wow. Disgusting.
Yeah, well, that is off-putting.
And then at the end he escapes by hiding in a river, and then his dad's like, I'm gonna kill you. or like, I like, never come back to the house again because I will kill you for what you have done. You started a riot in this town. And then an actor comes up to him and is like, hey, do you want to be an actor? And he's like, yeah, okay. And that's the end.
It's brilliant.
Gary Lineker, like, I just can't imagine Gary Lineker reading this and being like, yeah, okay.
that goes in.
I can go in.
That's obviously we're keeping that one in.
Yeah.
There's a few maybes, but obviously Shakespeare's gangbang stays in.
Is that like bloody Dante's Inferno or something?
It really, it's like, I'm visualising something by Hieronymus Bosch. It's really
like
this
that.
Horrible monster like crawling out going, score a goal, Shakespeare. And then there's no reason for it to be Shakespeare. There's just no reason for it to be
that
Shakespeare.
That doesn't make much sense. Maybe it's just someone they thought of in the days when they play football with a pig's bladder. The most famous person from those days.
Almost 100% certainly, but that means that the last like page where they're like, acting? He's like, yeah, go on then.
Shove that in.
If that's football, if I have to choose between football and acting, and football is a horrible mess of bodies, I'm going to go with acting.
Well, I think we all need to cool down a little bit from that sexy story. So it's time for a break, but we'll be back soon with more of Gary Lineker's favourite football stories. Hello, James here, and we at Football Book Club want you. That's right, you, to join something special, something exclusive. We want you to join the Football Book Club. The Football Book Club Club is the home of even more Football Book Club action. And now it's cheaper than ever to become a full member at just £3.50 a month. There's three tiers. By signing up to our Bookworm tier, you get an exclusive members-only episode of Football Book Club every fortnight, filling the gap between regular episodes with more book club fun and, frankly, a frighteningly deeper analysis of whatever book we're reading the episode. Plus, you get access to all the bonus episodes recorded so far. There's over 20 of them on there. Well, 20. And most excitingly, you'll get your hands on a special edition Money Can't Buy bookmark you can put inside your personal copy of Darren Huckabee's Hucks. All that for just £3.50 a month. For context, that's a tenth of the cost of a cameo message from Ian Dowie. And a cameo is what, 30 seconds? For that price, you get 10 episodes. That's 3.5 hours of content. I dread to think what you have to pay to get 3.5 hours of content from Ian Dowie. You'd have to remortgage your house. But I digress. And if that's still not right for you, if you really love the show, you can join the Super Bookworm tier. And if you like the show but don't want to pay that much, you can support the show for just £1 a month on the Casual Reader tier. You won't get the bonus episodes, but yes, you will get that bookmark. Head to patreon.com/footballbookclub for more details. So if you enjoy the show, please consider joining up. It really does help us to keep making the show, because books don't grow on trees. They are trees, kind of. And trees are expensive. But the Football Book Club isn't. So join today at patreon.com/footballbookclub or by following the link in the episode notes. See you back at the clubhouse.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Football Book Club, where we are still reading more of Gary Lineker's favourite football stories.
Yes.
I'm going to plough straight in to my lot. Stories 9 to 11. Exactly the same amount of stories as everyone else.
9, 10, 11.
That's right, four.
How many did you read, Jack?
I read four.
I read four.
That's interesting. I read four as well.
Yeah, oh, and there were 15 in total.
Yeah, well, I can't make him make another story, can I? Read less. It's me. Let me read the stories. And my three stories, because there were three, I'll largely gloss over one of them because it's just a game of football. It's literally just a game of football. No drama, no story. It's just a game of football. It's called Jennings Uses His Head. However, it maybe gives us an interesting insight into where he gets these books, because this one says, from Jennings Goes to School, which were like a series of like just William-like books. 25 of them, no less, by this guy Anthony Buckeridge, called, I got the page up on Wikipedia, there's According to Jennings, Our Friend Jennings, Jennings as Usual, Trust Jennings, The Jennings Report, Jennings at large. Oh, wow. Jennings again. A book full of Jennings
again. Yeah. Jennings about.
A
throbbing, heaving mass of Jennings.
Oh, gross.
But we'll gloss over that one because there is literally just a football match, that one. Then I had Stickers by Dave Ward, which is only really notable for a start, which is possibly the most Gary Lineker's favourite football stories start to a book ever. Miss Pringle's voice was shrill as a referee's whistle. I don't want to see them anymore. You've all gone football mad. It's just got to stop.
Exceptionally,
Gary Lineker.
Oh, please, Miss Pringle. We just want to play with our football stickers.
That's literally the next line. Yeah. Literally the next line. And I know you haven't even
read that. Not since Billy Bingo in 1922, who had a cane as sharp as a lion's whip.
Yeah.
But really, I actually quite like this story. It's basically about capitalism. It's like, it's a story that keeps swapping stickers, and then they start swapping the stickers for other things. They want to try and get this guy called Richo to start playing for their team. He's the best player there, so that everyone keeps giving him more and more elaborate things. And Richo's great because when he scores goals, he does a rap about them at the nightclub afterwards.
He's the Ken Zong of this book.
He's the Ken Zong of this book. For sure, but they start giving him like more and more extravagant gifts, like posters and designer t-shirts. And anyway, it all gets out of hand when he gives over his grandpa's prize sticker album, and he has to get it back in the end. And it's all he does to give it away.
Okay, that's good.
But that was quite.
Does
a
Richard
nice story.
Do a rap about that?
Richard sadly doesn't do a rap about that.
Okay.
Actually, at the end, he doesn't even care. He doesn't even turn up for the match. He goes to do some kind of like X Factor audition somewhere to be a rapper. So anyway, moving on for that. The story I want to talk about mainly. Is called Leon Heart, like Lion Heart, by Anne Ruffle, who, according to Google, is 109 years old and alive. To me, can't be right. It's what it says here on Google. It says Anne Ruffle has been a writer of children's fiction for the last four decades. In 2005, after working with young offenders in prison, Anne became more involved in writing for young adults. Four decades ago, she would have been 70. 2005, she would have been 91. So Google has to have this wrong. No way a 91-year-old lady moonlighting as a football story writer working in a youth offender's prison.
Then Gary Lineker's like, could you write me some stories?
You haven't got enough on your plate.
She's like, please just let me die, Gary.
I haven't even got the story yet. I made the story great because the story is a classic Gary Lineker story about a girl who doesn't really want to watch a boring football match. She goes along, surprisingly, loves the match, and most importantly, it's set in the midst of the 1995 Paris metro bombings. So. of course it is.
Oh my god!
The first thing that struck me about this story is that. Anne Ruffle, for someone who's decided to base a whole story around the city of Lyon, she's terrified that no one knows what or where Lyon is. There'd been a student demonstration on the streets, a police chase around the city, a multiple crash on the boulevard, brackets, Lyon's ring road. But here in the flat on the outskirts of Lyon, brackets, one of France's biggest cities, I was so bored that I wanted to push someone into the overflowing dustbin.
They didn't have EasyJet back in her day. She doesn't know how well-travelled we all are now.
It's true, but call it Lyon. Call it like Sunderland Heart or something. But then you can't have the bombings in, which is a really important part.
Gotta have the bombings
in. Coventry or something.
Yeah, there is loads of French bashing. In it for not much reason. A lot of like eating strange food and stinky cheese, and the bins are overflowing. There's a bit when she just goes to the toilet in the stadium and she's like, I won't describe what happened in there. He's fucking dirty French people who can't use the toilet. It's. Move on for that.
Merely piss in our berets.
Did she purely write this story so she could use the title Leon Heart?
Well, to an extent, I'm guessing. That this is something that actually happened to Anne herself when she was probably like, I don't know, 95. How old would she be then? 85 or so? 85? 81? 81? But I think it's based around her life because it's basically, and with her parents as well. She's on a family holiday to Leon. So she's with her 120-year-old parents. At this point. Now, I'm guessing Anne or whoever this person is about, I don't know, 15, 20. They go to France on holiday. And she's a bit bored, though. She doesn't know what to do. So they're just having a nice little chat, the family and their family friends that they're staying with. Their chat is naturally about the bomb in the Paris metro days before. Talking half French and half English. It's terrible that you have to throw a bomb and risk killing people to make yourself heard, he said. Michelle's father made French noises like a kind of puffing spit. A bomb is meant to kill, and to kill, that is never reasonable. Like, how do you say something so philosophical like a puffing spit? It's stupid.
Like a puffing spit?
Puffing spit. Nobody was hurt, which is lucky, but if nobody listens to reason about important issues, my mother began, and Michelle's mother stood up for her. The argument went on well into the afternoon, and you could see they were all enjoying themselves immensely. Talking about tragedy. Totally yeah. bizarre. And then I thought at first, like, oh, that's just by the by. That's presumably just to paint the picture. But then gradually, you could start reading the story more and more. She keeps saying things like, oh, we tried to go to the match. She gets dragged along to this match she doesn't want to go to, basically. And yeah, they're going along. Oh, we can't take in bottles of water. Michelle said they won't let in drink cans because of the bomb in Paris last week. I was like, please stop mentioning the bomb in Paris last week. Over and
keep
over.
It
over
light,
again.
Come
keep
on.
It light, come on. Then, yeah, it keeps going. And she's getting really into the match. And I kind of forgot about the bomb stuff until, shock horror, the bomber appears in the stadium in Lyon.
Jesus Christ.
Next, being chased down by the police until they bring him down. But by this point, she's really got into the game. And so she's a bit like, oh, no, not the bomber ruining the day for all us. I want to watch my new favorite team, Lyon. And
so funny.
The people in the crowd seem to forget about it quite quickly. They watch the end of the match and then they go home and the mum and dad are like, oh, we were so worried about you. And he goes, oh, she goes, oh, I totally forgot about the bomber. I was just so engrossed in the match. I absolutely loved it. And they assume that the bomber has gotten away. Michelle says, I wonder if he got away. And she says, I don't know. I said, I suppose you should be punished, really. Is her come down on that. But she also, at some other point, suggests that, like, I guess if people only listen to him a bit more, then maybe he wouldn't have to put a bomb on the thing. It's very weird. She kind of comes down on the side of terrorism all the way.
Basically, like, at first she's like, oh, terrorists are bad. So terrorists are good, and we should listen to what they say. It's only when they start affecting her love of new football, she's like, kill the terrorists!
No, she just, I think she loves...
When did this
both
book come
football
out again?
And terrorism, is what I think. 1998, so a few years after this incident.
But that isn't that when the World Cup was in France? Is that what she's trying to do?
No.
Is she trying to like put the fear of God in people, in kids,
interesting,
before they
interesting.
Watch it?
Yeah, possibly. Possibly.
Or she's trying to be like, terrorism's not that bad. Football's good, isn't it?
If a bit happens at the World Cup, don't
if
worry
a bit,
about
they'll,
it.
They'll enjoy
just
they'll,
a little
they'll
bit.
Barely remember the terrorism.
Yeah,
come on.
The
no.
game will be so good. Don't worry about it, man.
That is largely it. She says, at the airport on the way home, I had to buy a paper. And there'd be some really good pictures, with any luck to show my friends. Of the bomber? Question mark. Well, I suppose there'd be that too. What I wanted was a picture of my favourite goalkeeper doing a flying save. Will I ever go to a football match again? Try and stop me. If that happened to me, I'm never stepping foot in a football stadium ever again.
Come on then, James.
You want me stories? Right, let's just get through this shit. No, actually, the first two are good stories.
Two?
I like them.
Two?
Well, no, it's four, but the first two of the four are good stories.
Interesting.
Two of them are good. Two of them are rubbish. So, the first one...
That's not bad odds.
It's called Gary's Goal.
Uh-huh.
Also, I think with this, with like the bombing and the sort of, you know, dead grandparents and like dead family members, I think they're trying to... Do you think they're trying to like, you know, be like, let's include things that happen in life because kids need to learn these things are part of life. That's what I'm trying
Trojan
to think,
because, horse in a bit of trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
in mine...
Ghosts are real.
And bombs.
Sometimes football matches turn to sex.
We need to prepare the kids for all eventualities. So Gary's goal. So basically, 12-year-old Gary has a lot to live up to. He was named after Gary Lineker for a start because his dad was a lifelong Leicester supporter and his dad was a prolific striker himself. So there's double pressure on him. He's a striker, by the way. Oh yeah, and Gary's dad had been killed in a car crash 2 years earlier when Gary was 10. Why are they doing this?
This is a,
why are they doing this?
I think if you read the whole of this book, you would want to kill yourself by the end of it.
Yes.
It sounds so depressing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... So anyway, his mum's still grieving 2 years on. And then his big brother, who's a star football player for the school team, breaks his leg just as he gets a trial with Leicester City. So Gary, little 12-year-old Gary, feels a responsibility to lift the family. Mm. So to do this, he wants to score a goal for his youth team. Oh yeah, that'll put everything right, mate.
Yeah, dad's dead. Mum's grieving. Just lost the chance of a lifetime to play for Leicester. But as long as you scored a goal, Gary.
Everything forgotten immediately. They never think about the other things ever again. Didn't we used to have a dad?
So that's not Gary's plan. The problem is, Gary can't score for shit. He keeps missing chances. So he really looks up to his big brother, Steve, who is a brilliant footballer. And he says, there's this really funny bit where he goes, Steve never seems to get down. He can cope with anything. Losing a dad, breaking a leg. If only I were like that. Like, I don't think he's... I don't think he's just shrugging off his dad dying. Such a weird thing to say. Anyway, he plays this game.
I wish I was emotionally dead like you.
little Gary plays this game and he's really selfish because he's so desperate to score. So he keeps shooting all the time when he could be passing for someone else to score an open goal. They end up losing the game on the break and it's all Gary's fault. So everyone hates little Gary. He's got a dead dad. He's got a sad mum. He's got a brother with a broken leg. And now his whole team and the manager hates him.
The manager hates him as well.
The coach gives him a right dressing down and benches him indefinitely for being the most selfish player he's ever seen.
Jesus.
Do you know what he's going through, mate? Yeah. Do you know where his dad...
His brother's all right with it. He just carried on. He didn't... It's fine. Just be like that.
His brother's fine. He hasn't blinked in 7 years, but he's fine.
So anyway, he has a heart-to-heart with his brother and his broken-legged brother who tells him just to be patient. And that's what dad would have said. And he also says not scoring in that game was apparently hitting rock bottom, which... I think, despite his dad being killed in a car crash, it's a weird thing to say. Anyway, then he came on as a sub and scored a hat trick and everyone bloody loved it. And that was it.
Aww.
Did it bring his dad back?
Nope.
One. Did his dad come as a
tragedy.
Ghost to help him score?
Yeah.
That's what
I couldn't believe
happened.
I kept passing to that guy. What guy?
So that's one story. Quite like that one, even though it was hugely depressing until the last page, pretty much.
Yeah.
The next one's called Gruesome Gran and the Broken Promise.
Basically
what
Gran.
Happens here is group of lads playing book. Football on a field. They all have wacky nicknames, including Bigfoot, Butter Toes, Mountain Boy, Gonzo, and Loopy Lee. There's a bit more about Loopy Lee.
Which one would you be?
I'd be Mountain Boy, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely Butter Toes. For many reasons.
I want to hear more about this Loopy Lee before I commit.
Basically, you'd think with Loopy Lee, with a name like that, he'd be the lovable idiot, but he seems to have a real problem with him. So he says, Loopy Lee will do most things. He does mad things because he thinks it'll make people like him. I don't know where he got the idea where people would love him for doing stupid things are, but there you go. All right.
He's just, hell.
He's just loving life. He's just Loopy Lee.
Fucking Loopy Lee.
Anyway,
he's made being weird his personality.
So Butter Toes, who's the guy telling this story, kicks the ball over into someone's garden. He tries to climb over the fence to get it and a dog attacks him. And an old woman comes out and she basically kicks off at him, tells him to get out. The next day, he kicks the ball over another garden. He goes around to get it and the woman invites him in where there's three kids waiting to talk to him because they all like football and they want to ask him if he'll train them. So he agrees to meet them at 4 p.m. tomorrow to train them, to teach them, but he doesn't turn up because he doesn't give a shit. And then when he's playing for the local club, the kids turn up, three kids, start jeering him and giving him abuse on the sidelines.
Three kids are definitely dead, aren't they? The three kids are definitely like ghosts, right?
The gran turns up and she's their gran. And she takes the ball away and the game's abandoned. And they don't care because they were losing anyway. That's the story.
What?
Was that one of the ones you liked?
Yep.
Why?
Just because it's mad, isn't it? It's mental.
That's so funny.
I'm not sure we can judge your judgment. We can trust your judgment anymore on this podcast, James.
Well, it was just ridiculous. Whereas the other two are just general boring. Do you want me to run through them?
Are they boring foot ones?
Quick line about them?
Yeah, go on, quick line.
Okay, striking out. Feels pressured to pursue football by his mum and two uncles who keep telling him how much of a natural he is, but he doesn't really want to. But he feels he should, in memory of his dead brother, again.
Oh my God.
Who was also natural. So he decides to intentionally play shit in the semi-final so they don't reach the final and he can sack off football forever and pursue something like cycling. But he gets injured and they win anyway and then he just sacks football off. It's so ridiculous. So stupid.
I don't understand what the moral of any of these stories are.
No,
very few of them. Yeah. Gaping hole. That's just a boy who gets injured and does nothing.
No, he sticks boy to who cycling did nothing. At the end of it. He goes, oh, well, I can just do cycling now and play football sometimes.
Why does he want to play cycling? Why does he want to do cycling?
He doesn't really care about pursuing football, even though he's a natural.
What proportion of people in these these stories actively hate football?
It seems
at least 70%, I would say.
Gary's like secretly trying to tell us he's wasted his life.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I would rather have done mathematics or played billiards and chess.
The last story could have been fun, but it's not. So it's called He's the Man. Basically, the star keeper is leaving to go to America and they can't find a replacement because the rest of them are rubbish goalkeepers, but they need one for the upcoming game. Anyway, an American exchange student is good with his hands because he plays hockey, but he doesn't know the rules of football. So a tall guy who's rubbish at football stands behind the goal and tells him what to do as a goalkeeper.
That is a good idea.
It is a good idea.
This is like Ted Lasso.
And they win, but it could have been good. But it's
a bit like either Cyrano de Bergerac or
Ratatouille.
Ratatouille.
Oh, hey, buddy, I don't know what I'm doing here. I gotta save that ball. Just save the ball. I'll get your hair. I'll control you with your hair.
Ratatouille.
Hey.
Less Ratatouille, more Ratta Ivan Tony.
Disgraceful. Overall, James, though, you enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Did you prefer it to the first book, do you remember?
I can't remember, but I think I did prefer it.
I was going to say.
I think I did prefer
it. I don't remember there being as much death in the first book.
No,
there was more misogyny and like casual like kids boys being silly and like playing as Rozzers and oh look it's the cops and this one's more like death and sex and ghosts and shit.
Yeah, Gary's
this is after
up.
Dark. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he still hopes you have a wonderful time with these wonderful games of pride and penalties and winning
pride,
and losing.
Penalties and the Parisian Metro bombings.
Parisian Metro bombings. Oh, God.
Wow. Well,
what a waste.
And that is it. We read the whole book. Between us, guys. We read it. Did it change you?
Yeah, fundamentally, I am a different person now.
You're a fundamentalist.
Yeah. I think I kind of want... I will now probably look up and see exactly what William Shakespeare thought of football, I suppose, and whether he did have some kind of mass orgy when he was a teenager.
Interesting.
I guess I will, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Sure he did.
Those days,
William Shakespeare? That boy fucks.
Yeah. I learned nothing from any of my books. Actually, no, that's not true. I went on the Wikipedia page to learn more about the bombings. So
And Ruffle.
Yeah, I found a lot about Anne Ruffle. I can't wait.
Immortal Anne Ruffle.
I can't wait to read the next 109 years worth of books she produces. she's only just peaked. She hasn't even peaked yet. She's still going. 4 decades of writing. Rating out of 10. Can we rate it out of 10?
God.
I think it's unrateable, much like Amazon.
Unrateable. It's hard to... This shouldn't be anywhere near your eyes.
Yeah, this is... It's getting an NA from me. It's getting NA.
That's going to really ruin the...
it's going to be very hard to divide by NA. It could be hard.
I'll say NA as well, but if I have to give it a rating, it'll be 2.
Okay, 2. Tash, James, any strong thoughts?
4.
Oof.
10.
So 0, 2, 4, 10. Okay, let's have a go with this. So that'll be 6, 4 overall. Wait, you really bumped it up, James.
Wow. It's better than Asamoah Gyan.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's not too bad. Well, that's that book. Has anyone got an out of context to treat ourselves with?
Yeah.
Because I wondered this week if you could all read your out of context and we all try and guess which of your stories that one came from.
Okay, well, you'll be able to guess mine pretty quickly.
Yeah, same with mine. Yeah, Jack, what's yours?
Mine is, there were a couple of young butchers who were built almost as solidly as the great sides of beef they could haul around and chop up as easily as if they were bundles of kindling.
Oh, it's called Much Ado About Nothing, that story as well.
Yeah. Let me tell you, there's a bunch of ado about something.
Tash?
Standing by the fence was a tall lady in a big purple sun hat, a tight green shirt, pink tiny shorts, and silver shoes with stiletto heels, shouting, Lineker, Lineker, darling, come back, darling. I feel like maybe that's happened to him before.
Yeah.
Please, Lineker, I'll let you go back on Twitter.
I'm going to make a wild guess and guess that's the book, that's the story called A Dog Called Lineker.
Yeah.
Just possibly. James, do you have one?
Yeah. I don't know what it is about me, but the ball hits my boots and flies off like a 5-year-old on a trampoline.
R.I.P. 5-year-old.
That was, of course, how Dad went.
Is that Gary's goal?
No, that is, what's it called? Gruesome Gran.
Gruesome Gran?
That's Buttered Toes or whatever he's called.
Buttered Toes. And my one was Q in France. He laughed and pushed evilly at the group in front of us. So, those stupid French can't even Q. Ken Zong has been sent some more requests, guys. Remember, he wants people to send. I think at the end of that, we deserve a Ken Zong, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. At the end of that, we
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
He's been sent more requests. Remember, he wants people to send in players, genres, songs, and he'll make a chant around them. Jimmy Bolton messaged us. Grandpa Jim? Is he one person? Grandpa,
him.
Grandpa Jimmy Bolton messaged us on Twitter and said, love to hear one for this United and Villa legend. Who could it be? Well, to the tune of Earth, Wind and Fire's September. Do you remember the last time we played Jemba Jemba? He's running rings right round defenders while chasing the perfect play. Keep going. We've got three more verses. He's got to sing in. When he's on the pitch, goals will ping in. As he advances tonight, just remember, he'll be stealing the ball away. I shouldn't have gone falsetto. So do you remember Badia? Eric Jemba Jemba Badia. Gonna get the win today.
Beautiful. Very good.
I love that.
It comes up in the verses and the chorus.
I know, but it's a, the thing is, it's a banger of a song.
I agree.
It's a banger of an adaptation.
He sent me that and I said, possibly favourite Ken Zong yet. Good work.
I think
it's
great. Very good. Perfect.
Right, well done. Very
well. Back on form.
I went to Beyonce at Tottenham the other day and I was trying to sing the song, but I couldn't remember it.
Beyonce didn't bring Ken out.
No, I was gutted. Waiting for it.
She brought out Jay-Z in Edinburgh and Ken Zong in Tottenham.
Just to let you know what she thinks of Tottenham.
Please, everybody, get in touch with us with your Ken Zong requests, your author footballer puns, just thoughts, or like you want to see how we're doing. Message us at Footy Book Club on Twitter, Instagram, at Football Book Club. That is all for this episode. But we'll be back in a fortnight. If you can't wait that long, join the Book Club Club on Patreon, members of the club. Get a brand new exclusive bonus chapter episode every other week where we chat even more about the book. To listen, make sure you join the club. To access all these exclusive episodes and receive your very own book bookmark, that is on patreon.com/footballbookclub. Thanks, everyone. You'll be glad to hear there is no more of Gary Lineker's favourite football stories. That is it. No. It was two and out. There is no even more of or anything like that. It's two and out. So until Gary releases a third book, he's well overdue, to be honest. There's a year's gap between the first two. It's 25 after that. Any last words?
Great sides of beef.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, Natasha Frisco, and James Boffin, Baljan. It was created and produced by James Bug. Thanks to Gary for compiling the book. But where are they all now? Well, Gary stopped putting his favourite football stories together, but didn't retire from the literary game altogether, recently writing books such as The Weird and Wonderful World of Football, 50 Times Football Changed the World, and Football is Unbelievable, all of which we'll have read by Series 32. Anne Ruffle most recently published a book 4 years ago, apparently aged 105. Genuinely, its main selling factor on Amazon is, with a length of only 6,000 words and filled with drama, this story will appeal to all reluctant teen readers. So if that's you, check it out. Shakespeare almost definitely never played football, although there was a William Shakespeare who played American football for the Pittsburgh Pirates. There you go, learn something. There's been 78 more Jennings books released since we recorded, and Grandpa Jim gave up on kicking footballs at his grandson and now just wakes him up by whacking him over the head with a swing ball. The theme music, Hills Behind, is the work of Silent Partner and is used under a Creative Commons 4.0 license. We'll be back in a fortnight. Until then, bye-bye.
If you love the sound of dial-up, lost your job in a financial crash which wasn't your fault, and know where you were when Diana died, then you are probably a Xennial. In which case, the Xennial Dome podcast is for you. Interview guests include Stefan Guerrero.
There was a bottle of wine in the shape of the World Cup trophy.
Nish Kumar.
This is like the third conversation I've had about Encarta in the last week and a half.
Jess Phillips.
Very performatively taking the contraceptive pill.
And so many more Xennials. With interviews, mini-episodes covering Xennial history, and a MySpace page, this is the show for Xennials, or those who wish to understand them.
I do not fancy Matthew Letizia.
That's the Xennial Dome, spelt with an X, with Gareth Gwynn and Esilt Sears. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.